Let's have a prayer that God might say something to each of us today. Lord, please speak to us, whether we're very young or very old or in between. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Great. Come, that's helpful. I've got some pictures to show you. That's very good. Bob, could you just stand up for me? I want to ask you a question. Bob Austin, well known to us, very involved in Wargrave life and church life. Bob, have you ever been mistaken for anybody in your life?
I don't think there's anybody that shares my features.
I wonder whether perhaps Bruce Willis or Patrick Stewart people might have thought you were, but no, not yet.
Actually, Bob Hoskins. Everybody knows Bob Hoskins. Yeah, I've been mistaken for him.
Right.
By name as well as features.
How interesting. Right, it is funny, actually, mistaken identity can be very embarrassing. I was in a supermarket in London once, before our boys were born. It's a big Tesco on the Cromwell Road, and we're going round. I said to Camilla, that man there, he used to go to our last church. I'm sure he did. Don't be silly, she said to me. That is Salman Rushdie. And so I felt a bit of a Charlie as a... That happened, but I'm thinking about the royal family today as well, because the Queen tells a story about how she was up in her estate at Balmoral on holiday. She drove out some miles and went into a little shop, just popped in, and there she was with her scarf and her barber jacket and got off her Land Rover and went into this shop, and as she walked in, there was a woman behind the counter who was polishing lots of ornaments, other things, and royal bric-a-brac. And the woman looked up from the counter and said to Her Majesty the Queen, "My word, you look remarkably like the Queen." And do you know what the Queen said in reply? She said, "Really? How reassuring." Well, mistaken identity can be so embarrassing, can't it, at times. And the story we just had confronts us, that reading about the storm on Lake Galilee, it confronts us with who is Jesus. Who do we find him to be? Who do we identify him to be? And the first thing Jesus did was, after feeding those people before, about 15,000 people, he then sent the crowd away, and then also he sent the disciples ahead of him on a boat. And we're told in John's Gospel he did that because the people were so excited by what was going on, they wanted to come and take him to be their king. But the king they wanted wasn't a servant king, but a king who would push the Romans out, free them up in their country. So we're told that Jesus prayed. I think he went to pray, saying, "Lord, help me to walk the path you want me to walk. I know I'm heading to the cross. Help me to serve as I should." So there was his prayer. Then the other remarkable thing, which I notice, is his presence. Now, who's been in a big storm? Anybody been in a storm ever at sea? I've been in some pretty rough water. I was even on Lake Galilee in January, the first time ever I've been to Israel. And I went out about a 60-foot boat. And Lake Galilee is 600 feet below sea level. And that means that the sudden winds blow down from the hills. And really quickly, a big squall and storm. And this big boat I was on, we were going up and down and rocking. I got pictures of me, with the people I was with, in my anorak being splashed by the water. It was that quick and big, the storm. It really was remarkable. And to have that chance, that one day I was there, to go out on the lake and for this storm, was a great reminder about this. But I got some pictures here of storms. And here's a most enormous wave. Do you see that? Colossal wave. And storms are very frightening. There's that yacht lost a few months ago in the Atlantic, capsized. That was probably because a massive wave just capsized it and broke it up. And storms can be so powerful. You will see that's a massive wave. You can't see at the back. Well, imagine what was happening for Jesus. There he was, and here's a picture of it. Just how rough it can be. The big waves, small boats, not very big. The sail being ripped, and they're trying to control the storm. And we're told that Jesus knew what was going on. And we're told that He walked out to where they were. He found them exactly where they were and walked across the water. It wasn't frozen. That wasn't why he could walk across the water. It wasn't a sandbank he could walk on. No, it was a rough storm. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was the fourth watch of the night. And the wind was gusting. They couldn't get the boat to go in the right direction. It was exhausting. And I guess those people, how would the people feel who were in that boat? How would you feel in a storm? Yes. Scared. Yep. What other words do you use? Yes. Scared, terrified. Other words? Sick. Perhaps exhausted. Because actually it's very hard work controlling a boat in a storm. As I've once or twice, and John's done that actually on big boats as well. And it is terrifying at times when the strength of wind and the waves. I think they were feeling very weak. They were feeling very tired. And then Christ comes. Jesus Christ walks across the water to them. And they say, it's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. But no, Jesus says to them this. He says these words. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Friends, this was a real miracle. It wasn't a sort of computer-generated special effect. And that miracle shows the greatness and the glory of Jesus. And that word, it is I, for a Jewish person would have all sorts of echoes in their mind, because what God had said to Moses at the burning bush was, I am who I am. It is I. It's God's name. And more than that, again and again in the Old Testament, be not afraid is said by God alongside him saying, it is I, Jehovah, Yahweh, I am who I am, don't be afraid. And there was Jesus taking on these words only God said, and saying, look, don't you realize who I am? It's I, the great and glorious, majestic God who's the creator of all you see. Now, did anybody do anything special yesterday? I'm a bit croaky. Why am I croaky, do you think? Anybody any ideas? Shouting, not at my wife and children, but actually down at the regatta. And it was fun. Lots of church were competing. But what do we steer or paddle boats with? Oars or paddles, yes. And a rudder as well sometimes. Certainly the skiffs were using a rudder, weren't they? Now I brought the oar, our little oar, from home, one of them. Do you know that we know from other writings that Jewish fishermen on Lake Galilee, and those who went to sea, used to write something special on their oars. And they'd write on the oar, and they'd have one oar with this in it. It would say this, I am that I am, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. And if there's a storm, one of the sailors in faith would say, Lord, help. And they beat the water with that. I am that I am, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. But Jesus didn't beat with an oar or a paddle. He simply walked out across the water to meet his followers and show who he was and reveal himself. A wonderful story about that. And again, in the Bible, there's one person who calms storms. Can I give you two verses, just to make the adults think? Often and again, the word used is like this. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them immediately. That's speaking about God Almighty. Or Isaiah, was it not you who made a road in the depths of the sea? You see, the disciples thought that Jesus might be the person to push the Romans out, but actually much more than that, he'd come to be the servant king. He wasn't going to just be a political king, and he wanted to remind them that he was somebody who was much greater than they imagined. He was the one who could use those words which God used in the Old Testament. He could say, I'm the one who calms the storm. I can't calm my own bathwater, can you? You get out, you can't make it flat, can you? But actually, Jesus Christ could calm that storm immediately. It's the most staggering claim. It tells us who he is. But actually, he is the mighty one who is king of everything. Well, question for us all, young people, and the young people back, for godparents and parents, for Henrietta in due time, have you recognized who Jesus is? He's not just a good man, not just a prophet. The New Testament says he's much more. And at the end, they said, truly, this man is the Son of God. And they worshipped him. How terrible! Fancy worshipping Jesus if he was a man alone. But there was Jewish people who'd worship Jesus as the one who was divine. And two thoughts as we end. God is not distant. When those people were in trouble on the boat, we're told he saw them, he went to them, he spoke to them, he even climbed into the boat. Can anybody tell me, let's see if anybody can help me with this, just children or others, tell me what you might find in Trafalgar Square in London, if you've been there. Shout it out. Pigeons, what else? Lions, yes. Nelson's Column, yes. Sorry? A blue cockerel, yes, thank you. There's also, there's a fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square, and they've regularly been putting different statues on it. And back, I think, in 2002, they put up a picture of Jesus. His arms tied behind his back, a crown of thorns on his head, the only crown people ever gave him during his life. And it's a really small statue. And the man who did it, who was a man called Mark Wallinger, was asked why it was so small. You're dwarfed by Nelson's Column, by the lions, by the buses going round, by the tourists running across. Why so small? And Mr. Wallinger said, well, it was deliberate. I wanted to portray Jesus and his insignificance in the modern world. I wanted him to be deliberately dwarfed by London. But actually, friends, Jesus isn't like that. You might imagine London is sort of dwarfing him, but actually, if this is true, what he did in this miracle, if his claims are true, if his resurrection is true, you can't keep him as a statue. He's the King of Kings. He is the one who's the Almighty God revealed to us in himself. Have you recognized who Jesus is? The disciples had to worship. And that's what we all need to think about for ourselves. Nothing is more important in this life for any of us, whatever our age, however young, however old we are. Let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you that you showed your power, you revealed who you were. Help us to pause to think for ourselves, to work out who you are. May we find you to be the one we can worship and trust our lives to. Amen.
Amen.